It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We had some fireworks yesterday, a bit of an unexpected direction that the show took, and I want to constructively build on some things today, interact with you, and nail down some understanding about the work of the Holy Spirit today. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. You can call me at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can email me directly at Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, my original plan was to devote 2 days to the question of cessationism, how the gifts of the Spirit ceased to be in operation for the church today. Did they cease at some point in history that God designated would happen? And my plan was to have a guest on that had approached me about doing this. I didn't know what his background or credentials were, except that he had done many, many debates and really wanted to have civil interaction while remaining brothers and friends, etc., with whoever he debated. And because he had done so many debates, I said, okay, let's do it. You present your view the first day. I'll present my view the second day, and we'll have some interaction both ways, etc. As things developed yesterday, and as my guest felt that he could not adequately explain his point and was not willing to move on into other discussions, that ended the plan. And honestly, I wasn't quite sure whether he would be the right representative to go the second day taking the other position. So here's what I want to do. Our goal is not to debate or have an argument. In fact, let me say something. I may have someone on the air that is a complete heretic, not a believer in any way, someone that denies the faith entirely, an atheist or whoever, or Muslim, or whoever we might be debating, or a Jewish rabbi that obviously doesn't believe in Jesus. And if I have the discussion, obviously I want to influence that person. I want to influence those listening that believe and think the same as that person. And I want to put the issues on the table to challenge Christians to think as well. Within the body, I'm not trying to win an argument, okay? As I told Dr. James White when he was on, my prayer before that show was that God would be glorified. That was my prayer. And it's not a pride thing to me. Am I going to win or lose? As much as am I adequately representing the word as I understand it before the Lord? Am I glorifying him? Is this discussion going to help the body think these issues through? So I'm fine if someone came on the air and their arguments were so persuasive as a brother in the Lord about, you know, say, Calvinism, Arminianism, or the gifts of the Spirit, or some other issue, and their arguments were persuasive, and I didn't have answers to them. Well, then I got to go back to the Word and see, am I right, am I wrong, etc. In other words, it's not a personal thing. It's a matter of getting truth out for people to think through. Now, obviously, I don't have the slightest doubt in my mind of the possibility that the gifts of the Spirit ceased, and that 1 Corinthians 13 was talking about when the canon of Scripture is completed, the gifts will cease. There's not a shred of a possibility of that view to me. I'm not a Calvinist, but I really see where Calvinism comes from and why there's an argument, although I wholeheartedly do not embrace it. But when it came to the stalling of yesterday's argument, which some folks said it made for good radio, others said it was too painful to even listen to, and they were offended by the conduct of the guest. So we pray blessing on Pat. Hopefully, he will learn some things from the discussion we had as well. And a big point that he wanted to make was this, and he emailed me his chart. He felt he never got to finish his point, was that in 1 Corinthians 13, 11, and 12, that prophecies, tongues, miraculous knowledge, revelation in part is like speaking, understanding, thinking as a child. The complete revelation is like becoming a man, putting away childish things. Prophecies, tongues, miraculous knowledge is like seeing someone through dark glass. The complete revelation is like seeing someone face to face. Prophecies, tongues, etc., is like knowing in part. The complete revelation is like knowing as also I am known, knowing fully, which happens when Jesus returns. The clear evidence that that hasn't happened is that we're having all these debates. The clear evidence that that hasn't happened is that we have thousands of different groups all claiming to have the truth within the body. We have not come into the fullness of the Son of God spoken of in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. There are still people being deceived by every wind of doctrine. That means that the promised age that we're looking for, that fullness of revelation that comes with the eschaton, with the return of Jesus, has not yet taken place. Pat asks in his chart, are we literally looking at Jesus' face through a dirty glass right now? Compared to when we see him face to face on that day? The answer is decidedly yes. Compared to the glory with which he will be revealed, 1 John 3, we will become like him at that time. You better believe it. It's like seeing through a reflection in a mirror as opposed to the face-to-face that we'll experience. So here's what I want to do. I want to just take a couple of minutes and lay out clearly what 1 Corinthians 13 was talking about, although it's the minority of minority of minority of scholars that still espouse that view today. It is becoming increasingly unused as a biblical text because it's an impossible text to use, and it contradicts so much of the rest of Scripture. Hey, look, you've got a whole Bible out there. Okay, I just want you to think of this. You've got a whole Bible out there, and you're reading it. It's talking about gifts of the Spirit. You're in the New Testament now. The kingdom of God has come in power. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The Holy Spirit's working within the body to edify and build up and to touch the lost, etc., etc. You know, all this is going on, right? And I can give you many, many verses that clearly and decisively indicate it was expected to continue. I'll do that in the next segment. And someone's going to say, because of an alleged hint somewhere, that perhaps the words might be taken to mean this, that we throw all the weight of other evidence out? I mean, it's mind-boggling. So I just as a sampling, I grab comments from many scholars, lexicons, all of whom understood 1 Corinthians 13 the same way, that when Paul said, when the perfect, when the complete comes, that which is in part, tongues, knowledge, prophecy, will pass away. And by the way, the word for pass away is somewhat of a violent word. In other words, it's going to be violently done away with. Not just, well, here's a little bit better, fuller revelation. No. The thing is going to be violently done away with. Again, to quote Verlin Verbrugge in his new commentary on 1 Corinthians 13, until that time comes, the gifts that operate in the church, this perspective should put to rest the claims of cessationists that some of the gifts of the Spirit were valid only for the early church and have now ceased. Gordon Fee said this, these gifts have to do with the edification of the church as it eagerly awaits our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. The nature of the eschatological language in verse 12 further implies that the term the perfect has to do with the eschaton itself, not some form of perfection in the present age. At the coming of Christ, the final purpose of God's saving work in Christ will have been reached. And at that point, those gifts now necessary for the building up of the church in the present age will disappear because the complete will have come. And then he cites Karl Barth, because the sun rises, all lights are extinguished. Listen to what Anthony Thistleton said. And by the way, the word's massively clear on this. I'm just quoting a few commentaries just to see how universally they understand this same principle here. Look at what he says. Prophecies will not melt away of their own accord as they are fulfilled, but the cosmic eschatological public deed of divine judgment brings them to an end. In other words, when Jesus comes in power, that's the end of everything partial. Okay? How can preachers and prophets have anything to say when the last judgment not only reveals, but evaluates and pronounces judgment upon everything? So that's going to do the bring about the undoing of that which is imperfect and incomplete. Swords and his commentary. Finally, Paul promises the survival of that which is perfect and declares the eschatological end. In other words, the end time end of imperfection. Robertson and Plummer. Paul is so full of the thought of the second advent that he represents the perfection as coming to us. The apostle is saying nothing about the cessation of charismata in this life. Prophesying and knowledge might always be useful. And again, to repeat this, the idea that Paul was saying, now when I finish, you know, writing the New Testament, when the canon of Scripture is complete, which is a concept completely unknown to them, that they were writing parts of a New Testament, which would then be part of the Bible. I mean, you have the end of the life of Peter. He's now looking at Paul's writings and saying people twist them as they do the other Scriptures. It was starting to take on a certain recognition. But Paul had other letters to other groups. He didn't say, gather all my letters, because Jesus, look, he was expecting Jesus to return perhaps in his lifetime. He wasn't thinking there's going to be this canon of scripture complete. The canon of scripture wasn't completed till after his lifetime. Come on. So Gordon Fee says the idea that that which is perfect refers to the completion of the canon. It is an impossible view, of course, since Paul himself could not have articulated it. What neither Paul himself nor the Corinthians could have understood can possibly be the meaning of the text. In other words, Paul couldn't have understood it, and even more certainly, the Corinthians couldn't have understood it. Therefore, that's not what he was writing. And his whole point was the importance of love. So contrasting that, as important as these gifts are, when Jesus returns, they will not have value anymore, but love will continue to have value. Therefore, love is preeminent. Okay, I'm going to lay out some important principles about the gifts of the Spirit coming for today and give you some surprising quotes from Professor J.P. Moreland. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. In particular, if you have a question about the gifts of the Spirit being for today, or if you do not believe they are and would like to briefly present your views, by all means, I'd welcome your questions. I'd welcome your challenges. This is something within the body. This is something within the family where we have differences. But our intent, my intent, your intent, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today, I believe your heart is going to be the same as mine. We want to glorify Jesus. We want to see the maximum people reached for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. We want to see the maximum lives transformed, and we base everything on what is written in the Scriptures. I believe with all my heart that the gifts of the Spirit have continued to, until today, and that it is God's will that they are active in the body because of what I see in the Scriptures. And that is then partially confirmed by experience. I say partially because there's far more that I desire to see than I have seen. But I am not basing things on experience. I'm basing things on the Word. Okay? So that's the big issue. You might say, well, I'm not basing things on experience. Oh, but many do. They say, well, tongues ceased at a certain point. That proves, no, we can't base things on experience. We have to base things on what Scriptures say. So if you want to take issue with me, by all means, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, just to finish up here, he said, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Compared to the way we're going to see God on that day and be with him, and have perfect revelation of who he is compared to now. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Even with the whole Bible, we see but a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. How does God know us now? That's how we will know him when we see him. That has not happened with the completion of the canon of Scripture. And of course, a number of our listeners alertly posted on our website and sent in numbers of notes pointing out, hey, the gifts did not cease, with the completion of the canon of Scripture. And then there's even question, when exactly was that, by the way? When exactly was that? Because there was debate about a few of the books, Hebrews, James, etc., for a period of time. So when was the canon actually complete? Justin Martyr, Dialogue with Trifo, for the prophetical gifts, this is the second century, remain with us even to the present time. And hence you ought to understand that the gifts formerly among your nation have been transferred to us. And just as there were false prophets contemporaneous with your holy prophets speaking to Jewish people, so there are now many false teachers among us. Irenaeus, Against Heresies. In like manner, we also hear many brethren in the church who possess prophetic gifts and who through the Spirit speak all kinds of languages and bring to light for the general benefit the hidden things of men, and declare the mysteries of God, whom also the apostle terms spiritual, they being spiritual because they partake of the Spirit. These are comments that James posted on Facebook. Rick on our Line of Fire forum, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. By the way, there's awesome discussion going on there, lively debate constantly. Quotes F.F. Bruce, who says that according to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge are to be done away with, but only that which is perfect is come. That which is perfect is not come yet. The literature of the period following the apostolic age makes it plain that the gifts did not come to a full stop with the closing of the New Testament canon. Edward Gibbons, the historian, claimed an uninterrupted succession of miraculous powers, according to church literature, the gift of tongues, a vision of prophecy, the power of expelling demons, of healing the sick, and of raising the dead. He also stated about the end of the second century, the resurrection of the dead was very far from being esteemed an uncommon event, that the miracle was frequently performed on necessary occasions by great fasting and the joint supplication of the church of the place, and that the persons thus restored to their prayers had lived afterwards many years among them. So, on and on. I've got a book here, Miracles, Manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the History of the Church. It's pretty much unbroken. In fact, some have argued that the reason that the Reformers came out with a strongly cessationist view was to counteract the claim of Catholic miracles, because Catholics never claimed that things ceased, and therefore they must have been counterfeit and so on. That was part of the logic. Let's understand this, friends. We are now living in the era of the Holy Spirit. According to Acts, the second chapter, the words of Joel, from Joel 2:28 and following, the words of Joel, after this I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, God speaking there, Peter then applies and puts in the words, in the last days, God says, saying, in these last days in which we live, from the death and resurrection of Jesus until today, we have been in the last days according to the New Testament. This is the era of the Holy Spirit. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, daughters will prophesy. That was not just a temporary sign. Moreover, after he preaches and the people say, what must we do? He says, repent, be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. The end of Mark 16, most scholars say this is not the original ending of Mark, but was early accepted as authoritative words of Jesus. If you want to base anything on that, what's written there? That certain signs would follow believers. So I hear the message, I believe the signs follow me. I preach to you, you hear, you believe the signs follow you. Why? Because they are confirming that the kingdom has broken in. It did not pay a visit. Jesus announced the coming of the kingdom, and the kingdom is manifest as God's rule and God's reign advances in the earth, which means driving out demons, healing the sick, which means miraculous manifestations of the Spirit, because the kingdom age has broken in. And we pray, as D.A. Carson and other New Testament scholars point out, we pray for its full manifestation. Lord, your kingdom come. That is also in part now. We want to see the full manifestation, which will happen when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And the interesting thing is, around the world, the view that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased is becoming massively minority, because God's moving all over the place. Listen to what J.P. Moreland says in his book, Kingdom Triangle. J.P. Moreland, professor, Biola University, Talbot Theological Seminary, one of the most respected evangelical thinkers in the church. He says, cessationism is the idea that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, such as prophecy, healing, miracles, and tongues, ceased with the death of the apostles and thus are no longer available today. Fewer and fewer Christian scholars hold to cessationism, and it may fairly be called an increasingly marginalized viewpoint. This shift in scholarly opinion has been partly responsible for the renewal of miraculous ministry in the Western Church. Non-Western Christians are almost never cessationist in orientation. A study was done by a seminary student years back, his doctoral thesis, and he studied people being saved. It could have been in India. Forget the exact details of, but I believe it was in India, but otherwise third world Asia. And what he found was 80% of the people coming to faith in Jesus came either because they were healed, they were delivered of a demon, they witnessed a healing or a deliverance, or they knew someone who was healed or delivered. That was evidence to them that Jesus was Lord. And in faith, not seeing him physically, but in faith, they turned to him and cried out for forgiveness of sins and were saved and transformed. Having traveled around the world, I can attest to the fact that people are turning because they see the reality of Jesus. And what did Paul write to the Corinthians earlier? The kingdom of God is not a matter of word only, but of power. This is God's kingdom, demonstrated through human beings to demonstrate that Jesus is risen from the dead. We'll be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Email me directly at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Hey, next week, I can't believe it's coming up already, next week, March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, Friday day, Discover Fire. We are looking to raise up and send out armies around the world to glorify Jesus, to make an impact all over America. We're not looking to recruit students as much as we are looking to help, to work with God. How can I say this best? In fulfilling the Great Commission and our responsibility to it in our day. If you're serious, it's not a rehab place. If you're serious about being trained and equipped, an intensive program, Discover Fire, Thursday night, Friday day. You can find out about it by clicking on AskDrBrown.org and then Fire School of Ministry. And there's a two-minute message you can listen to from me. Okay, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, here's just a little segment of what happened. Go ahead, Joey, and play that. I opened things up. I'd given you actually 6 minutes in the opening segment and asked you two very short questions, okay? You continue to dance around issues and make amazingly dogmatic statements. I'm quite surprised based on the whole tenor of how you emailed and wanted to
I don't believe you're really surprised. I think you're just saying that for the audience's sake.
Now, in the sight of God, Pat, I am frankly surprised by the tenor of your emails and the way you kept approaching things, okay? When I say, hey, you know, so-and-so, respected scholar, because you're the one that first started quoting scholars, okay? You quoted
theirs.
What happened was, again, I was quite surprised with the tenor of my opponent, debating opponent yesterday, based on the emails that were sent and the spirit of how things were supposed to go. And to get accused basically being a liar by saying I'm surprised as if it's for some audience effect. I mean, at that point, I was thinking, okay, I don't think this is the type of guest that I want to have our listeners have to deal with and put up with. So, again, I pray for blessing on Pat and that he will come into the fullness of the Spirit. But that kind of silliness, we just weren't going to waste airtime with. So have you ever thought of this? There's a view that said that Jesus came into the world working all kinds of miracles, just like at the Exodus, there are all kinds of miracles. In certain key times in Israelite history, there are all kinds of miracles. And then God came to confirm the coming of the kingdom through Jesus and the apostles. But then, now that we have the Bible, those miracles are no longer needed. That's a different cessationist argument. Well, has it occurred to you first that the absence of signs, wonders, and miracles were considered a judgment in ancient Israel when they didn't have prophets, when they didn't have God's visible hand among them, as Psalm 74 and other passages state? That's one thing. Secondly, Jesus often healed the sick based on compassion. It was not just a sign. God's heart, it tells us in the Psalm, Psalm 145, that his compassion is over all of his works. This was not just a sign to prove something. It was often done out of compassion. Just do a little check. I mean, look at the healing of the leper. Jesus moved by compassion. Look at the raising of the widow's son, only son, raising from the dead, moved by compassion. I mean, even Matthew telling us that he was moved by compassion and healed all who needed healing. Has his compassion changed? What do you do with the words of Jesus in John 14:12? Where he says, whoever believes in me, that's a universal, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Now, people debate, well, what are the greater works? What do you mean? Well, let's not debate that. He said, the same works he did, whoever believed in him would also do. That means that there is that distinct possibility, and that if we truly believe, we should see the same kinds of things happen. When you read the book of Acts, you see very similar things happening with healings and miracles and resurrections from the dead and demons being driven out. I mean, what, do you ever wonder what happened to all the demons? I'm not into weird stuff. For me, it's weird where you find a demon everywhere and everything is a demon and on and on and on. Okay? I am not looking for a demon under every rock. But you ever wonder if Jesus was driving out demons so much where they all went? He certainly didn't send them all to the pit, did he? Well, why is it you go to third world countries and there's all kinds of demonic manifestations and people being set free left and right, and we don't see much of it in the West? Could it be skepticism, unbelief? Could it be a mentality that separates the physical from the spiritual. What about James, or Jacob as it is in the Greek and most other languages? What about James 5? Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation. Let him pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Well, he'll save the sick. If committed sins, will be forgiven. Isn't that interesting? There's no indication. But that's going to stop at a certain point when we have the whole Bible. What does one have to do with the other? The person is sick. The person is in need. And so that even those who believe where the Bible is complete, the gifts, well, that's that very Bible is telling me to expect these things today. That very Bible is telling me these things are for today. And can I ask you a question? You go over to another country, they've never heard of Jesus. You know, almost one third of the world's population has never even heard the name of Jesus in a way that has any meaning to them. And you go over there with the Bible. We have the Bible. You have to believe. Why are they going to listen to you? In point of fact, some missionaries have gone over to Muslim countries and they pull out their Bible and the Muslims pull out their Quran. This is God's word. This is God's word. Well, we have scientific proofs this is God's word. Well, we have inspirational proofs this is God's word. They go back and forth. Let the God who answers by fire be God. That's never changed. Now, I fully accept that God worked in extraordinary ways through Jesus and even through the apostles to absolutely establish the truth of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit was not withdrawn after that. God forbid. We still live in the era of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God did not disappear after that. The same kingdom that as it goes forward sets captives free, it continues to go forward. The same promises remain. Please, somebody, show me. I can show you promise after promise that we're to believe God for. Promises in the Psalms for protection and healing. Promises in Proverbs. Principles that are given in the Torah for healing and blessing as we believe God. Promises in the words of Jesus. Paul talking about the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit for the edification of the body. This is not even focusing on the lost now, but for the edification of the body, that the Lord moves in these different wonderful ways. I mean, this is over and over in the scriptures. And Paul, as I mentioned yesterday, 1 Corinthians 1:7 says that you don't lack in any gift as you eagerly wait for the return of Jesus. They weren't thinking, well, we have these gifts, then when the Bible is complete. Again, a concept that was not in their minds at all. Paul did not say, I'm writing the first letter of to the Corinthians, which will be part of the canon of New Testament scripture. He was writing a letter to them. There are other letters he wrote to other churches that are not part of the canon, that were not included. He didn't think, well, this is a really good one. We'll keep that one in. That one, I don't know if it's going to make it. Of course not. In the wisdom of God, key letters were preserved for us so that they'll teach us things that believers through the ages need to know. But they were expecting here, they're not lacking any gift as they wait for Jesus to return. So, I mean, you have promise after promise, teaching after teaching. Even Paul elsewhere, the Thessalonians tell him, don't despise prophecies, but test everything. This is the norm. Please, someone show me where God in his word said, I'm going to shut the door on this. I'm going to stop this. All the promises, all the information, all the truth, all the revelation of compassion, the coming of the kingdom, I'm just going to stop it at some point, and I'm making it clear what that point is. Nonsense. Never happened. It never happened. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here as we continue to discuss the continuance of the gifts of the Spirit for today. 866-34-TRUTH. Dave this morning posted on our Line of Fire forum, that's askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. He said, I've studied the phenomena of these manifestations. They do not stand up to Scripture at all. Hey, Dave, disagree with you there, friend. The tongues spoken today do not resemble those at Shavuot, Acts 2. Or even the confusion in the assembly at Corinth, for that matter. Okay, first thing, the only place where it mentions dialect, foreign language, is Acts 2. And that continues to happen. By the way, a seminary professor told me the other day that he was on a missions trip in another part of the world and wanted to reach out to a particular group. He had a guy with him that did not speak any English at all, but there were some lost people they were trying to reach, and suddenly the Lord moved on this fellow. He offered to translate in good English. The seminary professor preached, this guy translated, the people heard the gospel clearly, The seminary professor was absolutely shocked about this. And the local pastor came up to him and said, oh, that happens with us every month. The only way for us to reach some people down here. So first, the gift of speaking foreign languages does continue. But the only time it mentions dialects, foreign languages, there is in Acts, the second chapter. It's never mentioned in the 10th chapter, in the 19th chapter. In fact, there were no people to hear in foreign languages at Cornelius' house. They all spoke the same language. There was no need for supernatural language communication then. Plus, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul makes clear that the types of tongues he's speaking of are not known to anyone, because it says no one understands, and that person speaks mysteries in their spirit. I've seen some of the chaos that Paul had to correct, and I've seen the proper use of tongues for decades now. Dave continues, and it's a very nice post. Dave is gracious at the beginning and end, and I appreciate that. If the gift of healing ministries is true, then let's see them in hospitals, not in healing meetings. Well, most healing that's taking place is out among needy people. I was reading an extraordinary account of a woman I'll be ministering with, God willing, in June in Germany, at some meetings there, about the extraordinary healing of the blind, people born blind, that they've seen in front of their eyes. I mean, the hopelessly needy people. One of our grads just got was off the field for a little while. He's been a missionary in Mexico for 11 years. He can attest to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have been miraculously healed in the villages there. So it's happening all over the place by God's grace. And even in the West, too, as well. I would say the vast majority of healing that takes place is not in major healing meetings. And thank God for medical science and what it does. Dave says, if prophets are available today, then let's have an infallible word from them. Well, I don't know that they were looking for infallible words in the New Testament as much as reliable, because everything had to be tested and nothing had the authority of Scripture except that which ultimately was written down and became recognized as Scripture, as the Word of God. But there are people operating with extraordinary prophetic gifts. There are people nailing things with accuracy and speaking them in advance and warning. I'm not claiming to operate on any high level of prophetic gifts personally, but I've had warnings for people, very clear, very definite, that weren't heeded, and the warning came to pass, sadly, just as spoken. Seen in front of my eyes, just recently, I was out ministering in California, and a prophetically gifted sister prayed with me after a meeting and spoke things to me that were the exact things that we had just discussed at a ministry board meeting as far as some direction that we needed to take and things that needed to happen within the ministry. I got the thing on tape. It's like, okay. So the Lord is working, Dave. Now, is there flaky stuff? Of course. That's why Paul had to address it in his day, and there are counterfeits then, there are counterfeits today, and there's a lot of sensationalism. In fact, I've written on this at length. Get my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Subtitle is The Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? I would be the first to say there must be more. I would be the first to say, especially in the West, we're only seeing a trickle. I would be the first to say there's a lot of junk, a lot of sensationalism, a lot of flesh, a lot of carnality, a lot of mixture. And because of that, many God-fearing people who love the Word are scandalized. And they see a lot of weird stuff going on in the name of Jesus and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and they get scandalized by it. I fully understand that, and it grieves me, and I've addressed it, I've written about it, but I will not throw out the good and the wonderful because of the corrupt or the carnal or the confused. I will not throw out what the Holy Spirit is doing around the earth, around the earth. Get J.P. Moreland's Kingdom Triangle book, just as a... Here's a philosopher and evangelical thinker who lays these things out. In fact, I'll put a couple of good links on my website to some resources for you folks. Read these. Read the books that they recommend. Even folks with a cessationist history are now writing books like Who's Afraid of the Holy Spirit? It's time to dive in. Jesus is working. We want to see this world touched and the body built up. Let's avail ourselves of everything that the Holy Spirit has and is doing. Some important stuff when we come back. Stay with us. Thanks so much for being with us on the Line of Fire broadcast. Every day I look forward to our hour together and pray that it would enrich you, help you, strengthen you. And if we get into controversy, it's not just for controversy's sake. It's to stir up issues to get you to think. And listen, feel free to differ with me. Feel free to take issue. All I ask is that you think the issues through prayerfully and examine them in Scripture. That's how my own views have shifted over the years. In the late 70s, really beginning around 77, then increasingly towards the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, I got so skeptical. I was a committed believer. My wife Nancy and I were committed believers. We were active in helping the poor, refugees, sponsoring people in need, bringing them into our home, as our whole church was in a very, very real, compassionate way. But I got so skeptical about various aspects of charismatic Pentecostal things. I'd been saved in a Pentecostal church and raised in that in the Lord my first few years when I got saved in 71. And I got really skeptical. I mean, I was throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I read B.B. Warfield, you know, Counterfeit Miracles, and Robert Gromacki's Modern Tongues Movements and books attacking the gifts of the Spirit being for today. And I tried to talk myself out of it. But first, so I mean, I tried to get away from it. And plus, I was now getting my Ph.D. I was doing scholarly work. And it was so much more sophisticated for me. I'm talking about for me to say I don't believe in any of that tongue stuff and miracle stuff. I don't believe in any of that. I'm just, you know, a scholar and all that. I'm just talking about for me. I'm not saying anybody else feels like that. And God began to deal with me. First, I couldn't get away from the scriptural evidence. Second, when I really pressed into God in quality prayer, which sadly was not as often as it should have been back then, I would end up praying in tongues. It just would flow out of my innermost being. And then we began, as the Holy Spirit was poured out powerfully in our church in 82, people started getting healed and touched. No, not on the level we wanted to see, but undeniably. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, I'm so sure they're using the Bible wrong, and this can't be. And that's why I switched my doctoral dissertation subject from just a linguistic grammatical thing and did my whole dissertation on the root rapha, the Hebrew root rapha, meaning to heal, restore, make whole. And my doctoral thesis was entitled, I'm the Lord, Your Healer, a philological study of the root rapha in the Hebrew Bible in the ancient Near East. And then ultimately it took some of that material and then expanded it in a full book called Israel's Divine Healer, which you can still get today. And I became utterly convinced, based on studying this from every angle that I knew how, that divine healing was still for today, that the gifts of the Spirit were still for today. Now listen, some of the finest Christians on the planet don't believe this. Some people who passionately love Jesus, who are solid, who are godly, who are examples, who are being used by God, maybe your pastor, maybe your father, maybe your husband or your wife, okay? Some of the finest people out there, people on this very radio network, okay? Fine men and women of God, of integrity, who love the Word and who love the Lord, do not agree with this. I esteem them, I honor them, I bless them, I appreciate them. I simply say, based on the Word, there is more. And as you have opportunity to travel around the world and hear the testimonies of what God is doing and read about what God is doing around the world, it is tremendously encouraging, tremendously uplifting. And shouldn't we be excited that the Holy Spirit that was poured out has not been withdrawn? That the kingdom that was introduced by Jesus has not departed? That the promises remain true? That the compassion of God remains true? That this era of the Holy Spirit which we are living in is one beyond our understanding in terms of what God wants to do and manifest in us and through us? So open your heart, open your mind. Ask yourself the question, if all you had was the Bible and you were just reading it by yourself, would you think the gifts of the Spirit were still for today? It's a challenge worth taking. And then say, God, touch me. I want everything you have. I don't want anything from the devil, the flesh, emotionalism, but everything you have, God, I want it. Touch me and fill me and see what he will do. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the conservative spirit versus the Christian spirit. Are they one and the same? You don't want to miss the broadcast.